I'm Marlena Lieberg, and I'm the host of Blind Spot, heard on the ACB Radio Mainstream link every Tuesday at 2 Universal. It's a one-hour call-in program where we talk no-tech, low-tech stuff that's of interest to people who are blind. So won't you listen in and give me a call? Waiting.
If you're a modem user and you live in the United States, now you can have quality, reliable internet access and support ACB Radio at the same time. Easy Access USA gives you flat rate 56K internet access, 2 email accounts, and Usenet news groups for only $19.95 a month. And every month, $4 of that great price goes to ACB Radio, so we can keep bringing you your favorite shows and expanding our service. So don't delay. Switch today to Easy Access USA. Surf on over now to www.easyaccessusa.net. That's www.easyaccessusa.net. Or if you'd rather sign up over the phone, call them toll-free at 866-835-7872. That's 866-835-7872 between 8 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern. Easy Access USA and ACB Radio, working together to bring you the best.
For the blind, by the blind, ACB Radio.
Hello there, welcome to Blind Line, the original interactive talk show for the blind and visually impaired, heard right across the globe. In fact, it's amazing how the statistics keep going up. Last I checked, Blind Line is now being heard in around about 70 countries, so that's pretty impressive. Although there are some issues with the website today, so if you've been able to get to us through the tuner software or some other means, well, we're delighted about that. And coming up on the program over the next couple of hours, well, first we have our regular interview slot and something a bit special this week. Somebody who is a blind person and playing a very effective role as an actor in a mainstream environment. Now, there are a few actors around there who are playing blind people, but it's a bit harder to go a bit further afield and play others. And so we're going to be talking to someone who's doing that in a very special way. And after that, it'll be the open forum part of the program where you can give us a call courtesy of spiderphone.com and have a chat about anything that's on your mind this week. We'll give you the phone and details later, because if you have any questions for our guest, I'll give you that email address right now. We need you to email those questions to blindline@acbradio.org, and we will take the questions and put them to air. That address is blindline@acbradio.org. Well, there are a number of pretty major institutions in the United Kingdom. There is, of course, the Royal Family, there's the BBC itself, and then there's the Arches. The Arches has been going since 1951. In January 1951, it did its first official broadcast, although there was a pilot back in 1950 of the story of everyday country folk. It is now heard 6 days a week on BBC Radio 4. And then, of course, if you can't cope, you get the omnibus as well. So you've got lots of Arches fixes going on there. Somebody who's recently entered the cast is Ryan Kelly. He is playing Jazza, the character who's a bit of a tearaway, and we'll talk about him in the course of the interview. And Ryan just happens to be a blind person. It's really good to have you on the program, Ryan. Thanks for staying up for us.
Hello.
Yeah. Tell me about yourself. Let's talk about your background. You've been blind all your life?
Yeah, since birth. It was, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Born with no eyes, basically.
Dave Williams, who you know, I understand, and is our program director on ACB Radio Interactive, was telling me that you're a guide dog handler as well. You've got a dog called Benson.
I went to college with Dave, and, yeah, I've got a guide dog, Benson.
Yeah, yeah. And tell me about your interest in acting, then. When did you start deciding that the theatre or that drama was something that you had a zest for and something you wanted to pursue?
Well, I've always sort of done sort of school shows and that, and I've always really, really enjoyed doing them. But really, when I first got interested was possibly 17. We wrote this mad play. I used to go to college 2 days a week in Hinckley, or not North Warwickshire, in Hinckley College as it is now. And we wrote this really strange play in which I was not only an Irish fairy godmother but a Welsh genie, many other strange and stupid things. I had the most weird lines to say and all sorts. But really, I think when I got interested was when I went to RNCB. I got involved in the drama side of things there, and in fact, more or less started the department up in conjunction with the drama person there and another student. And we done our first sort of major play from Hull Truck, and that's really what started me off. That made me say, okay, I want to go into this. And one day the drama teacher at the RNCB said, why don't you get into theatre school? And the first thing I said to her was, what's that?
Yeah, you know, the whole phenomenon of schools for the blind and things like that, I think, is a formula that is just asking for mimicry. I know that a lot of us who went to different schools for the blind used to have all sorts of fun doing very, very good impersonation of the teachers and things like that, and then you'd find that they were right behind you or something dreadful like that, you know.
Yeah, they're quite right. It's not something that ever bothered me much.
No.
I was never very good at teacher impersonation. There was people always better than me at them. But I used to try them, and I got caught, you know, as much as anybody else might. But I used to just laugh anyway.
Yes, but you are. They tell me you do voices. You are a good mimic.
I do my best. That's all I can say, to be honest. I never try to put too much on myself, because other people can tell you what your talents are, but you can't always with a voice. Because you get your voice to do something that you want it to do, and it doesn't always do it. You know, make him out as a yodeler, a squeak, or anything, really.
Yeah, and often when you listen to yourself on tape, when you're doing it, you think that it sounds pretty hot, and then when you listen to it back, it's not quite as good as it sounds.
Yeah, you sort of want to curl up and die in a corner.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah, it's not very.
I mean, we've got thousands of archives of this show. That makes you want to curl up in a corner. Let's talk about. So did you go to a school for the blind from the beginning?
Yeah, five, six, I think it was.
Okay.
I was at Licky Grange first in Birmingham, then Exhill, but yeah, boarding school, which thank God, in my opinion, has sort of been eradicated in this country, because it's just there's not enough integration. Sight people don't know enough. They haven't learned enough when they meet somebody. There's always a whole spate of questions and learning to be sort of taken into account, and that sort of holds back. That gives something sort of back from, or takes something away from, I should say, sight people, because they need to know too. They need to know about what they need to do and how much they can help and how little, you know. They need to know all sorts of things like this, and they don't, quite frankly, a lot of them don't to begin with, and it's the integration thing with the sighted schools, or mainstream schools, if you will, is, in my opinion, really, really wanted in this country. It really is.
What do you think of
that enormously?
What about the balancing act, though, between the need for that integration and education almost just by being around there, and the fact that a lot of these schools for the blind, especially in the UK, do seem to give you guys a pretty good quality education and give you a head start so that you can compete in the sighted world.
Yeah, but how many sighted people actually compete? How many sighted people that you see in the street every day, from rough council estates or from anywhere, from cities, how many of those actually compete? How many dropouts are there? You probably get the same amount of dropouts in that sort of society with blind people. Who's to say that you wouldn't? It's just, okay, we get a better chance than other people, but the question is, do we always deserve it?
And also, I guess, were the sacrifices worth it? I mean, those boarding school environments can have a heck of an impact on family life, although I suppose that boarding schools of all kinds are more acceptable in the UK, aren't they? The kind of whole, you know, the Eton phenomenon sort of thing.
I guess so. I don't know, actually. I really don't know what the wide view is. It's becoming less and less so, for special schools, I'll call them that, although might not be politically correct. I've never been much of a one for caring about that. But it's one of these things that it's down to the individual, with the public, but needing to have done it, to have been there, to have done the sort of boarding school thing, it's, I don't know, you miss something. You miss, if you ever happened to have a good family or a family that you could live with, you miss all that. I mean, I could never live with them now. Never.
Do you have a family yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could never live with them in Northampton. Because we just get under each other's feet too much.
Right.
I couldn't have done that from the age of about 15 or 16. It would have been very, very tricky to do. But that's what it sort of takes away from me.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And so, what did you move straight into drama after you finished your schooling?
More or less, actually. I started off doing a music technology course and a bit of sound engineering at college, or I suppose that's what you call it, a BTEC, I think. And they said there's an extra sort of slot here, which is drama, or you can either do dark drama, dance, or other aspects of music technology. And I thought, well, this done drama at this two-day college thing last year. I had a great time, but nothing achieved by it, which is great fun. So I'll give that a go. And we got involved in the improvisation and things, and I was the one that was sort of pushing it out more than most, me and this other student. So we basically had great fun from there on. The ball was rolling, and I'd done a few different things there. At Christmas, I was a Christmas cracker. The John Major Santa Claus, among other things. But it was just, that's really how it started off. And then in summer, we done the first sort of play. We went to see a play issued by Hull Truck, Dead Fish, it was called. It was great, really, really hit home for me anyway, because my family life was very similar to that. And the sort of quotes they would come out with were very, very samey, very similar. So we asked for a copy of the script from them, duly copied onto your computer so that we could get it brailled, and in our own time, we just got the drama department going. That's really how it started off. It was really good. It was great fun.
Do you consider yourself to be a really good braille reader? I mean, has that played a part in the success that you've had?
No, not at all. I'm a hopeless braille reader, if I'm honest. Absolutely hopeless. But no, we don't. You can't use braille on radio script because it picks it up on the microphone. It sounds like a little Geiger counter. reading it it doesn't actually work that well. See, what I've got to do is learn the lines, really. It's the only way. It's the only way around it. You've got to know the lines, and you've got to be very, very sharply given that. Especially in Jazz's case, because of the kind of character he is.
Yes, yeah, I want to talk about that a bit more in a second. But so you get the lines in Braille, is that how it works, and you sit there and learn them?
I get the lines on script, and somebody just reads them onto a tape for me. There's not much point in actually putting them into Braille when there's an easier expedient, which is what I prefer anyway. I much prefer tape, as I said, because I'm a hopeless, absolutely hopeless Braille reader. Okay. I can read Braille, but it's very, very slow and very clumsy, and it's entirely my own fault, I might add.
Yeah, can we talk about the move from playing blind people, which is something there's a bit of call for. You know, every so often you see an amateur theatre production or something, or semi-professional theatre production, and they're doing, like, Butterflies Are Free or one of those plays about blind people, and they call for a blind person and you can get the part and have a pretty good time. But it's a huge leap to actually have moved on to be a blind person playing non-blind characters.
I used to do it at the Old Vic, actually. We tried a few different things, with theatre, I might add. For TV, you couldn't actually play blind, you couldn't do it. The camera says too much, it tells the truth too much. But with theatre, it's possible to trick a few people with eyes and things, or whether people are just kind and don't think about it. I really don't know, I've never really gone into it, but it's possible to do. I was a gangster in our graduation show, Diamond Lowy, in which I had to walk around the stage as competently as any sighted person would.
So
it's actually quite easy to do. It's quite easy to do if you've got confidence. The trick is, what actually took me a long time to learn, was the looking at a person. You follow my nose to actually look at a person that was talking to me. That was very, very, very tricky to do.
And I wonder how much of the mood, you know, when you're playing certain scenes, is transmitted between the actors in a visual way, and whether you feel that you're missing out on those signals or the mood of the play.
No, it's not. It doesn't happen that way. It's through atmosphere, really. I mean, you get, I don't know, I hate using this word because everybody else does. You get vibes. But it's...
Yeah, let's invent a new word. I wonder what we can call it instead.
Oh, God knows.
Yeah.
You could call it a new sentence, I suppose. you get these mad feelings and that. But, you get vibes that sort of tell you if the person is on a roll or not. You know, the breath may be a little bit, so signs then. Signs, that's a good one. I like that one. You get signs that the person might not be a bit stuttering in the breathing, which might mean, oh God, he's going to funk on any of his lines. He might have forgotten a line. So you're like, you've just got to be prepared to improvise anything, you know, that sort of thing. But other than that, you catch the mood yourself. It's really difficult to say, to explain what I mean. But you catch the mood yourself, with the help of the audience too, of course. So you're buzzing from them and you're like, you catch your mood. And you just do it. You just do it normally.
So would you consider yourself to be a pretty confident mover? Because I guess you'd have to be to move about the stage with absolute confidence.
A confident mover, provided you've had a couple of practice slots for about 10 minutes or so, yeah.
You ever fallen off the stage?
Sorry?
You ever fallen off a stage?
Yes, once or twice. Thankfully, and I was just doing amateur stuff, but was it a school show? I got quite carried away. I was comparing one year and walked forward and closer to the edge of the stage, and my one foot came off. And they grabbed my leg and pushed it backwards, and I had to carry on talking, got backwards and not look a fool, which actually was impossible to do. It didn't happen, but it was great fun.
Okay, all right. Have you been a fan of the Archers before you were in it? Did you used to sort of religiously listen to Radio 4 and catch up with Ambridge?
Religiously, no. I did used to listen to it. But if I missed it, I never used to sort of create anything big about it. A lot of people at school did, and it was okay up to them, that's fine. But no, I wasn't really ever that enamoured with it. I liked it, enjoyed listening to it if I could get it, but it didn't bother me if I couldn't. But as I got older, yeah, I did get quite well into it, actually. It was, I don't know, it depends on how people would look at that. See, if you're in this country and you listen to the Archers, you're staid, you're square, you're boring, you can be any number of things. So I didn't admit to it that often.
Yeah. It's interesting, I do have a lot of conversations with Archers fans because we have to go to considerable lengths to listen to it on the internet over Radio 4 and all of that sort of stuff. And before that came along, I'd have to get people to send the tapes to me, so, you know, it's a bit serious. But you're right, it does appear to be a very conformist kind of act, and you seem to me to be quite a non-conformist kind of person.
Well, the show itself isn't actually non-conformist, it's great. The show live that you're listening to on the radio is very non-conformist, very staid and very, I don't know, stodgy, perhaps, and some people might call it. And it just doesn't, I don't know, for some reason, when I first went there, and even for after the audition, there was cast members, I was a bit overawed by it. I was a bit like, oh, these people read my story tapes, they've read, you know, all sorts of different things. But they're people, they're only people at the end of the day, and they sort of do what they will. They do their best to be people and have good fun, have a good time, I guess. So no, I don't tend to be very non-conformist in the green room, as it were, before it comes to it. But I agree, it can be. Some people think the Archers bore it all. I don't listen to that because they say such obvious things. You get that as well. You get that silly comment. Everybody says obvious things. It's just that people don't tend to realise it very much.
Well, it's perhaps it's that saying of obvious things that does make the drama so credible and has kept it going for 50 years. And perhaps, although a little bit behind the times, it always has eventually moved with the times, hasn't it?
That's right. In some ways, I think it's probably a good thing that it has sort of stayed a little bit behind, because it's given people a chance to sort of catch up and find out, once they've assessed feelings and things and how people feel about doing certain things, it's given people a chance to find out just how the other half lives, as it were, how it happens, what happens emotionally to a person, if indeed that is accurate, depending on how accurate the script writers are. But they must be pretty accurate, as it's been going for about 50 years. So I would say, yeah, that speaks for itself, really.
Who's your favourite character in The Archers? I had to ask you that one.
Don't know, actually. I've got a few. I think I like Linda Snell at times, and I really do. I like Joe Grundy. I think he's great. Edward Kelsey.
Yes. And the actress who plays Linda Snell is just such a versatile actress. She's doing all sorts of stuff. And I understand she does quite a lot of audiobook work as well.
She does, yeah. I've read loads. That's really what threw me, to be honest. I was coming down to the canteen, and she says, "This is Carol." She plays Linda. And I thought, yeah, you've done loads of my story tapes. It sounded really stupid, but it was. She thought it was funny anyway.
Yes, and Norman Painting, he's been there ever since the beginning, since 1951. That's really quite remarkable, isn't it?
I met him the last time I went up there, actually. I only met him the once. But he was, he does like doing it. His job's nice and satisfactory. I liked him a lot.
Do you think that the creation of the Jazza character and the way that Ed Grundy is turning out, is that some sort of means of reaching a younger audience who may perhaps think that The Archers is a pretty uncool program to listen to at the moment?
It might be that, but hopefully I think it might be that other people are being taught that other people sort of do mean things or do hurt people or whatever, because you wouldn't believe some people actually go mad and they say like, it's disgusting, the vandalism these days. You get all that sort of letter written in to the Archers, say to the BBC, I'm not into this, it's absolutely disgusting. But it happens every day. It happens every day on lots and lots of estates, cities. And they're turning away from real life by not showing that sort of thing. So I think perhaps they've had that many complaints, to be quite honest, that they have to. They've got no choice.
I don't know whether you heard the episode where Joe Grundy went a bit berserk and disposed of the ferrets. And what was interesting to me about that is that apparently the BBC got more complaints about a certain word that Eddie used at the end of that episode than the actual disposing of the ferrets.
That was wonderful. That omnibus that week was... Oh, it was very baitedly watched by me anyway. I listened to it, be like, it was, that was a great week. But it was strange, wasn't it? I think they're probably right to sort of do that with the words, because you don't want a 2 or 3 year old kid, if the parents are listening to the Archers, coming out with that sort of thing when they've got the social workers there.
How cynical. Tell me though about the process. When did you find out that this part was going, and take us through the whole process of getting the part?
Well, they phoned me up actually on my mobile. I was with my partner collecting her nephew from nursery, or her nephew, whatever. Anyway, I'm not going to quibble. And they phoned me up and said, doing the Archers, this is such and such from the Archers, I can't remember, Julie Everly, would you be interested? You've been referred to us by Bristol. Damn right I'd be interested straight away. So there I was. Sent me an audition script, which I had to learn. It was only 2 pages long. And went and auditioned, I think it was 8 or 9 people, and got the job about 2 weeks later. And we've been devising different ways. I've been going into studios and sending me scripts, learning lines, and working ever since. It was great fun.
So you met the famous Vanessa Whitburn at that time?
I did, yeah. I don't remember that well, to be honest, but I did meet.
Yeah, she's quite a controversial figure in the way that she's taken the Archers. She comes in for a lot of flack at times.
Yeah, she has. But it's, I say it's these other people's ignorance, to be honest. Because there's a lot of things that go on, and people need to know that they go on so they can try and avoid them.
Yep.
Bad things that happen, and it's right that should happen. It's right that people should know what happens, whether people want them to know or not.
And I guess you would consider this one heck of a huge break for you, right, to have scored a part in something as prestigious as The Archers.
It's mad. It's mad every time I think about it. I'm like, I'm only Ryan Kelly. It's not me. It's not me. It's me. It's brilliant. But at the end of it, it's not about being for me, which is why it hasn't sort of really blown my head away or anything. It's for my family. I love them and I'm doing it for them.
You obviously have had a bit of an increase in attention from people like me wanting to talk to you. I understand you've got the In Touch program coming up as well, and mm-hmm. I've certainly read a few articles about you from time to time. How have you coped with that? Has that been a good thing or a bit of a nuisance?
Well, to be honest with you, it's something I've been pretty used to, because when I first got into Bristol, I was the first blind person to get in there ever. And there was all sorts of TV coverage, newspaper coverage, just local stuff. But I got to know what to get used to. And if you're gonna actually do this sort of work, you've got to expect press. You've got to expect that sort of thing to happen. It may not happen, or it may happen, but you've got to expect it to. So, yeah, it's part and parcel of it.
So when you become a member of the Archers cast, do they sort of make you sign a non-disclosure agreement that prevents you from talking about what happens next and all that sort of stuff?
Well, they make me sign contracts saying what I work for and what I won't work for. As the non-disclosure, that's something they tell me straight away the minute I walked into the audition. You know, they record so far ahead and they don't tell people what's going on. So I just don't tend to talk about storylines or anything, really. So I never know what episode I'm going to be in. So I don't know what episode's going to be broadcast. I don't always know that. I don't even talk storylines to Sonia, my partner. I don't even talk to them at all.
Man, that's really disciplined. I'm impressed.
You've got to be.
Yeah. How far in advance are you recording?
About a month, I think.
Right.
Yeah, it's about a month, roughly. 4 or 6 weeks.
Because one of the really impressive things about the Archers recently was the way that they were able to handle the whole foot and mouth crisis.
Yeah, they had loads of rewrites and re-records to do. They really, really kept busy that time. Actually, because they had the month all set up. They actually had the recorded month all set up, and suddenly this foot and mouth went, you know, hit everybody, and they had to go and do rewrites for scenes and different parts of episodes and sit and edit them all the time before they were going out on air. So it was very tricky for them, but they managed to do it very well indeed.
Yeah, they did, and I guess that's the marvels of digital editing, that they're able to insert scenes and mess about with the recordings and things too, if they need to. So how many episodes do you record at a time, and how long does it generally take?
About 45 minutes an episode, depending on how many you've got to do in that day, but there's only ever 1, 2, 3, 4 in a day, 5 in a day, I think it is. But depending on how many episodes you have to do at the time, I've done 2 in a day before, but it's not, the recording itself isn't the difficult bit. And once you've worked out the lines and how you're going to say something and what your moves are, it's actually quite easy. It's the learning of the lines and that sort of getting that bit right and being able to correspond with other people when all you've got is a tape. That's the tricky part. And once you've actually got that sussed, you're in business.
Is it frequent for you to do those in one take, or is it more frequent to have a couple of goes?
Well, scene by scene, really. You can go a couple of times, which most people do, and then you get a patch if you need one. Usually that's what happens. You usually get 2 scenes anyway, just so you've got a contrast, so you've got one to bounce off the other. So the editing, maybe the editing then is made a lot easier.
What's your... I mean, if somebody, for example, we have a lot of listeners in the US who may not have heard The Archers. Must be dreadful to be in that position, but anyway. How would you describe your character, Jazzer, and the way that he's developing?
Yeah, he's a bit of a tearaway. But like a few of my cousins, actually, as a kid. But he's a bit of a... I don't know, he'd steal the eyes out of your head and come back for the sockets, let me put it that way. But yeah, he's not a particularly nice guy either. He's all prestige. It's all don't be scared because you'll get in trouble because it's sad. It's not don't be scared because you'll get in trouble because you won't get in trouble because I'm here to sort you out. Jazzy would Jazzy would leave you in the lurch. Totally. Every time. He's not reliable and he's not a nice chap.
Is he a bad influence on Ed Grundy, or is Ed Grundy a bad influence on him?
No, he's definitely the bad influence, yeah. He's got to be. But he's... The more worrying factor is he's roughly the same... He's supposed to be roughly the same age as Ed. So, I mean, it's a contrast. What does that show you, really? It's a shame. It's quite sad. But it does... That sort of thing does exist. People drag other people down with them.
Yes. It must be really important to have a good rapport with the actor who plays Ed Grundy. And actually, I meant to go to the BBC site and do a bit of research on that actor before the interview, but you seem to be very effective when you do those scenes.
I like him a lot. He's just totally genuine, which is, you know, you start off by liking somebody, you'll get there. That sort of genuineness will come through. It'll come off. And I do. I've got a lot of time for him. He's a nice guy, and he's just really, really genuine. He plays the didgeridoo, for example. And he was at a party the other week, and he was just taking his didgeridoo and the fuse, and he was having a good old blow. I guess I don't know. It's just, well, I don't know how he does it. I don't mean he cast aspersion on his talent, but it's like, you know, he just totally genuine, loves to do it, and that's why he does it, and that's what I like about him most, I think.
It's certainly not a full-time job, is it? That a lot of the people in the Archers are doing other pretty important stuff as well, acting-wise.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what they're doing, incidentally, because yeah. I don't keep up with that sort of thing. I don't even have a computer. but it's not something I tend to keep up with, what other people are doing. What I tend to do is concentrate on what I'm doing and try and get the other people to rub off on me.
and do you think that it will? I mean, are you expecting or have you already seen that you're in more demand as a result of the Archer's role?
Not yet, no, early days yet. I've only been on for about a month on air, just over a month. We're talking about, it's just over a month.
I think that'd be right, yeah.
And it's, you know, it's early days, we can't see yet at all. Added to the fact I've got a helping in the bringing up of a seven-and-a-half-month-old daughter, which is taking time, and I want that to happen. I want that to take time because, you know, a lot of people don't actually get to see their kids grow up. They don't get to sort of work with their kids, be with their kids. And I think that is the choice I would take anyway.
And has the whole being away from your own family as a youngster had an impact on that, that you're determined to do it differently?
Well, no, because Bethany isn't blind. But in a way, yes, because I've got the chance to do it, which is a better chance than sort of Mum had to do it with me or whatever, because we had to go to boarding school. There was no choice around it. There was no way around it. We had to go.
Yes.
But it was... it was... I don't know... Mum never really had the choice, and I have, and I'm going to hang on to that choice and really enjoy it.
How do you feel about, you know, when people talk to you about the Archers issue, and obviously this is a program that's primarily aimed at a blind audience, but you have received quite a bit of publicity because of the fact that you are a blind person playing this role. Do you mind talking about the blindness thing? Do you hope that people will eventually sort of get sick of the novelty and concentrate on you as a talent?
Oh, I don't care much. It's up to them. It's up to them to perceive me as people, because it's them that'll be made, I don't know, more knowing, more intelligent, dare I say, than that. Because it's for them I'm doing it. It's to teach other people. That's the whole point. That's the whole idea.
That's an interesting angle. Because I've read material in the past from David Blunkett, who's another obviously successful blind person in your neck of the woods. He seems to have made a conscious decision to steer away from blindness issues and do other stuff in Parliament.
That's different with acting. You can't do that because you can't always play sighted people. If you want to do a TV programme or a film, for example, you've got to play blind. You've got no choice. So that's got to come into it. It's not fair that it doesn't have to. It has to. In Parliament, it's different. I guess you could do it more easily.
Different sort of theatre.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Precisely.
Do you hope that the presence of yourself and perhaps other talented actors who happen to be blind will actually see more roles for blind people in TV, soap operas and films and things? That you know, you don't often just see them getting on with life in everyday programmes, really, do you?
No, not very often, but I think, I'm hoping that's the case, because it needs to happen. It needs to happen more. In this country, anyway, I don't know about other countries, but this country, it needs to happen. How many blind people in soap operas do you see that could quite easily and quite well do the job playing blind people? Because you don't see that sort of thing in soap operas very often. You see it more in Australian and things like that, but you certainly don't see it in British. It doesn't happen. And I think that's like, how long have they been running soap operas in this country? Well, the Archers since 1951. But You know, the whole thing's quite sad that they haven't ever done it, really. Not to my knowledge, anyway.
Why do you think they haven't?
Too scared, to be honest. That's what I think. I think they've been too scared to sort of say, oh, will he be able to do this? He might not pull it off, and our whole credit rating would go through the roof. It wouldn't happen that way. The general public would be quite sensible and quite sympathetic if that did happen, which it wouldn't happen. You know, I think, to be honest with you, a lot of these people that direct the soaps are scared. That's the honest truth, I think.
Have you ever felt that you've been knocked back, not because of your talent as an actor, but because of your blindness, and people being sceptical about whether a blind person could do this job?
Yeah, that was mainly getting into schools, though, getting into theatre schools. I tried for Birmingham School of Speech and Drama, which has less prestige than Bristol Old Vic, less sort of fame, I don't know. But I went there, and they asked me to go back there for 4 days just to see if I could integrate and things. But I felt like the poor relation. You know, it was horrible. You're like, oh, all they wanted to talk about was blindness. It was boring. It was, I don't know, it would have knocked me out. It really would have. Then I went back to do an audition and found out that instead of, you're supposed to get, I think it was 50 out of 100 marks, and they gave me 48, you know what I mean, on really, really stupid things, on nothing, actually. You know, I think it was a dance, barefoot, I had to sort of point the feet and things like that, and I'd never had any training in this. They asked me this before, I told them that, I didn't point his feet straight. Do you know what I mean, these were stupid things that sort of were said and actually happened. So I just sort of forget it. You know, you throw those people away, they're not worth bothering with, simply because they'll never listen. It's like smacking your head against a brick wall. You've got to go to the people that do listen and try to get them to get the people that don't listen to listen.
But then perhaps that tells us something about why you are achieving, in that a lot of people would be really knocked back and depressed and perhaps give up. And what you said was, well, it's those guys that have the problem, and I know I'm good and I'm going to keep going. Not everybody would do that.
That's right. It's the truth, though. I mean, that's down to them. So nobody else is going to do it for them. You've got to get up there, and if you want something, you've got to go and get it. And if you can't go and get it, then you keep trying until you do get it.
There'll be a lot of young blind people in the UK in particular, I guess, who are seeing you as a role model because of what you're achieving.
Well, it's nice if that happens, but it's themselves who should be seen as role models, not me. They should be setting examples to themselves and doing what they want to do, thinking about what they want to do with their own lives, same as any other people, and doing it.
Where do you want to go from here? You've got a kind of a game plan in terms of where you're heading in your career?
I just want it to head. I just want it to work. That's all I want more than anything else, really. I love acting. I love the buzz of acting. And that's why I do it. I don't do it solely to teach people or solely to do this or that. I do it chiefly and mostly for the buzz it gives me. I love doing it.
I know that you're not going to give me any clues at all, but it seems to me that what's inevitably going to happen at some point is that Jazza will end up locked up. And so I guess it may be a reasonably short-term kind of role. So you're looking ahead, are you, to where to from here?
You're always looking for jobs anyway, even if it was going to be, which I will add, time will tell. If it was going to be anything, it was going to be a shorter time, you just look for other jobs. It's the way it goes, it's the way of the world. There's nothing else you can do.
Well, it's been a fascinating time talking to you, and I certainly will be listening on a daily basis. I can't be. Do they actually take a bit out of the omnibus? They must do to fit it in. Do they do some subtle editing there somewhere to get the whole weekend?
No. It's actually, the Arches is on about 13 minutes now. It's not on as long as it used to be.
Ah.
I've forgotten the precise times. I think they've cut about 2 minutes off so they could accommodate an extra episode in. You know, it was all sort of allotted time and that sort of thing. But, yeah, it's quite strange, actually. No, they don't edit any out of the omnibus that I've never noticed. But they might add a little gaps. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, it might be a bit of compression. So if I, because I have this little macro, this little computer program that turns on the computer at 6 o'clock in the morning my time and records Radio 4. So I listen to the daily broadcasts. Just
wow.
Just in case I miss anything. Yeah. So it's hip to be square, man.
Yes.
Thank you, Jazza. I mean, look at that.
Whatever, yeah, okay, call me Jazza if you want.
Right, and I appreciate it. You've been fantastic, and I really am grateful that you've given up your Sunday night. All the very best for the future.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
That's Ryan Kelly, who plays Jazza in the Archers, and if you happen to be outside of the UK, you can actually log on to www.bbc.co.uk/radio4 and find the link to listen to BBC Radio 4. The Archers is heard at just after 1800 Universal Time, Sunday to Friday, and then the Omnibus Edition is on Sundays at 9 Universal Time for a good hour and 15 minutes of The Archers commercial free. And we're going to open the phone shortly when I connect to Spiderphone. If you would like to be a part of that, you're most welcome. Our number is area code 212-812-2800. That's area code 212-812-2800. And then when you're asked to enter a PIN, you should enter 0480-5512. Except that I'm having some difficulty connecting. We'll see if we can deal with that. Wonder why it's doing that. Yeah, have these little mysteries of life. Area code 212-812-2800, and when you're asked to enter a PIN, 0480-5512. And I know that because of the various problems that we've had with the website, we may be a little short on listeners today, so if you would like to have a chat to us today, it might be a very good day. Because the call numbers are going to be, I think, a bit lower. What I'm going to do is take a bit of a break, and then we'll come back with, hopefully, your calls here on ACB Radio Mainstream.
When they're not broadcasting.
This is Steve Mazura.
This is Robin from the Aussie Kaleidoscope.
Living on the edge.
I'm Roger Cool.
The KJS Show.
Hi, this is Patrick Perdue from
the ACBRI DJs are hard at work creating personal web pages about their shows, the music they play, and even a bit about themselves.
Now we're accumulating these web pages into the ACB Radio Interactive Broadcasters Web Ring, where you can learn more about the personalities behind the microphone. Go to www.acbradio.org, then choose the interactive link. From there, you can choose the link that will take you to the ACB Radio Interactive Broadcasters Web Ring.
For the latest breaking news stories, visit the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org. All the news, all the time. From the world's leading news organizations like CNN, the BBC, the New York Times, the Toronto Star, the Wall Street Journal, and more. That's all the news, all the time, in the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org.
As well as ACB Radio Mainstream,
The Cafe,
ACB Radio Treasure Trove,
you can hear
live, unpredictable internet
on the ACB Radio Interactive.
ACB Radio Interactive,
playing music from
the 1930s and 40s,
the 50s and 60s,
the 1970s,
the 80s and 90s,
the hits of the new millennium.
ACB Radio Interactive comes to you from at least 6 time zones on 3 continents, bringing you the very best
country,
top 40,
classic and modern rock,
new age,
folk,
the rare stuff out of the 50s,
jazz,
easy listening adult contemporary,
and more. By the blind, for the world.
ACB Radio Interactive.
And more. Yes, I love that. 21:43 Universal Time on this blind line at a slightly different time. I'm Jonathan Mosen, and the board is free. If you care to join us, it's area code 212-812-2800. That's area code 212-812-2800. And the conference code, courtesy of spiderphone.com, is 0480-5512. That's 0480-5512. Hope you enjoyed the interview with Ryan Kelly. Most gracious of him to give up his Sunday night. And we'll be watching his progress with considerable interest. It's great to hear people who are succeeding and overcoming obstacles, not also being, I guess, deflected or dejected by attitudinal barriers. I think that's pretty significant as well. And you may like to talk about that, about knockbacks that you have in your life. I guess there are two aspects to this. And the first probably is that sometimes we all get rejections, whether it be applying for jobs or seeking to do a particular course. And sometimes it might be easy for us to blame our blindness, or more to the point, blame other people's attitudes to our blindness, when that in fact may not be the case. But clearly there are occasions, there are instances when there is blatant discrimination that goes on. How do you deal with that? And I'm not really talking about that in a legalistic sense, but more in the context of one's self-esteem. Continuing to reassure oneself that one has talent and that it's worth hanging in there. That's often a very difficult thing. I remember that when I was very interested in broadcasting, and about, how long ago now? 15, 16 years ago, there was a course that was being run in the broadcasting industry. And somebody pointed out to me that this was advertised, and I decided to apply. And it all went pretty well. I did an audition tape. They thought it was fantastic. They said, we really want you to do the course. And they came back and gave me the price. And I decided that it was really out of my reach. Well, the course people were so keen to have me do the course, they actually called me and said, well, we think it would actually be good publicity for our course if you did the course and graduated from it, because we believe you're going to go places, and so we will reduce the charge by half if you would like to take the course. And I said, well, that sounds like a really great deal. And the night before the course, I'll come along and put a few braille labels on things. And at that point, the attitude completely changed. And they said, well, there's really no point in you doing the course, since a blind person could never have a job in broadcasting. And I guess I was fortunate that, with the support of others, and I guess an inherent belief that, you know, radio was the destiny and all that good stuff, I overcame that knockback. But for some young people, that can be pretty soul-destroying. So you may like to talk about that. Our number, if you wish to join us, is area code 212-812-2800. That's area code 212-812-2800. And the PIN, or the conference code, courtesy of the good folk at spiderphone.com, is 0480-5512. That's 0480-5512. On what is, I suspect, a reasonably quiet program. So I might see if we can play you some music, although we'd certainly appreciate your calls. But I'm not going to sit here waffling all the time, so we'll see if we can... why don't we see if we can find some comedy. Here's something a little bit sort of interesting. I must stop using that word. I really must stop using that word. Do it all the time. Your calls are most welcome.
I rented my apartment on a Monday at 1, a singing to lolly lolly shaky bum shaky bum. Started moving in it on a Tuesday at 2, a singing to lolly lolly shaky do shaky do. Wednesday at 3, I called the phone company, a singing, hey baby, put a phone in for me. Thursday at 4, he came a knocking at my door, singing, hey baby, I'm your telephone man. You just show me where you want it and I'll put it where I can. I can put it in the bedroom, I can put it in the hall, I can put it in the bathroom, I can hang it on the wall. You can have it with the buzz, you can have it with the ring, and if you really want it, you can have a ding-a-ling. Because, hey baby, I'm your telephone man. Careful where you at, and then he says, no, when other fellas call you, tell them how it all began. Well, can you imagine? My heart began to thump and my mind began to fly, and I knew I wasn't dealing with no ordinary guy. So while he was talking, I was thinking up my plan. Then my fingers did the walking on the telephone man, singing, hey, lolly, lolly, hey, lolly, lolly, hey, lolly, lolly, get in any way you can, right? So bedroom, and I got it in the hall, and I got it in the bedroom, and he hung it on the wall. I got it with the buzz, and I got it with the ring, and when he told me what my number was, I got a ding-a-ling, a-singing, hey, lolly, lolly, hey, lolly, lolly, hey, lolly, lolly, just doing my thing.
I've never done
anything
like this before.
ACB Radio Mainstream with Blind Line at the earlier time, and the sound of Mary Wilson singing about the telephone man. How naughty. All right, if you'd like to give us a call, it's area code 212-812-2800. That's in the United States. Area code 212-812-2800. And the PIN is 0480-5512. That's 0480-5512. And I had a call from somebody the other day who was asking, in fact, I've had two emails from different people in the last little while saying, why is it that I'm in New Zealand and you're in New Zealand, they say to me, and I have to call New York? Isn't it a marvellous world in which we live in with this internet technology? Yeah, such is life. But you're welcome to give us a call. Maybe we should disconnect from Spiderphone and get all these New Zealanders to give us a call. Maybe they're up at 9 o'clock on a Monday morning. We're certainly welcoming your calls on any subject at all. We've been talking about knockbacks and how you deal with them. Setbacks, I guess, is another term. So if you have any thoughts on that, how you deal with them, any advice that you would like to give, any coping strategies for those people who doubt your ability simply because of blindness. I know that I used to be acquainted with someone who was very keen on drama, and at school they were basically prevented from doing drama because they were a blind person, which I thought was hideously unjust. I guess if it had happened to me, I would have been most, how would one say, vocal about such things. But anyway, it's amazing what people do to young people in terms of destroying their dreams and not giving them a chance to succeed or fail based on their efforts. Absolutely incredible. Anyway, we will continue. I think I'll play some novelty stuff, you know, which is better than, as I say, me waffling. I think I'll play this because over on ACB Radio Interactive, which is now broadcasting an extra 27 hours a week, it's going continuously from 15 Universal on Thursday right through until 6 Universal on Wednesday. So that's pretty impressive. There's only another 30-odd hours to fill. And over on Mainstream the other day, Noel Romy, who is involved in chemical engineering and all of that sort of thing, if you missed it, you can hear his interview on Blind Spot with Marlena Lieberg. It's in the archives there. He's gone to Australia, to Newcastle, I think it is, to do some studying over there. And he had a trivia quiz as part of his Celtic Source program. And apparently they went really well. And he was giving away a boomerang. Good Australian sort of prize. They had some discussion about blind people throwing boomerangs, and more to the point, how would we locate the boomerang if it didn't come back, as it didn't in this case?
In the bad backlands of Australia, many years ago, the Aborigine tribes were meeting, a having a big powwow.
We got a lot of trouble, sheep, on account of your son, Mac.
My boy, Mac? Why? What's wrong with him?
Our boomerang won't come back.
Your boomerang won't come back?
My boomerang won't come back. My boomerang won't come back. I've waved the thing all over the place. Practiced till I was black in the face. I'm a big disgrace, the Aborigine race. My boomerang won't come back. I can ride a kangaroo.
Yeah, yeah.
Make kinkajou stew.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm a big disgrace, the Aborigine race. My boomerang won't come back.
The banish him from the tribe then and send him on his way. He had a backless boomerang, so here he could not say.
This is nice, isn't it? Getting banished at my time of life. What a way to spend an evening. Sitting on a rock in the middle of the desert with me boomerang in me hand. I should very likely get bushwhacked.
Get out of it,
nasty bushwhacking animal. Think I'll make a nice cup of tea. Good gracious. There goes a kangaroo. I must have a practice with me boomerang. Hit him right behind the left heel. Now then, slowly back.
If you throw that thing at me, I'll jump right on your head.
Isn't it marvellous? Put a land full of kangaroos and I had to pick that one.
For 3 long months he sat there, or maybe it was 4. Then an old man in a kangaroo skin came knocking at his door.
I'm the local witch doctor, son. They call me George Elfie Black. Now tell me, what's your trouble, boy?
My boomerang won't come back.
Your boomerang won't come back? My boomerang won't come back. My boomerang won't come back. I'll wave the thing all over the place. Practice till I was black in the face. I'm a big disgrace, the aborigine race. My boomerang won't come back. Don't worry, boy, I know the trick, and to you I'm gonna show it. If you want your boomerang to come back, well, first you've got to throw it.
Oh, yes, never thought of that. Daddy will be pleased. Must have a go. Excuse me. Now then, slowly back and throw. Oh, my God. I've hit the flying doctor. Can you do first aid?
Don't talk to me about first aid, boy. You owe me 14 chickens, you know what I mean? Learned you to throw the boomerang, you know. First thing first.
Yes, I know that, but I mean, I think...
On this occasion, Charlie Drake and My Boomerang Won't Come Back on Blind Line at ACB Radio Mainstream. Our number 212-812-2800 in the United States. That's 212-812-2800. And the conference code, courtesy of Spiderphone, 0480-5512. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Joey Weston.
Yes.
I just happened to... What exactly are we doing this week? I've been listening for the last couple of weeks.
Well, we have just had an interview with Ryan Kelly, who plays Jazzer in the Archers.
I guess time has changed.
Just for this week it has, yes. I take it you're not on the announcements list. Or the friends list.
No, I guess I need to subscribe, don't I?
Yeah, that would be good, because then you can find out what's happening and when it's happening. It's quite good to be on one of those lists.
All right, I just wanted to find out what was going on, because I came in and I'm like, I didn't hear anything. I'm not here.
Marvelous. What are you calling on, by the way?
Dialpad.
Oh, I thought so.
With my phone bridge.
Sounds a bit sort of internet telephony-y, but that's okay. Are you using the new standalone dialpad applet?
Yes, the one for the desktop.
Yeah. How's that going?
Very well.
Seems to do the job.
If I could only figure out how to do... They had a little more flexibility for accessing the address book and for punching in numbers. That's why I got the phone bridge plugged into the sound card, and you plug the phone into that, and I can put the tones in that way.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Another way is to, hold it up to a speakerphone or something like that, but, yeah, it is a bit of a nuisance in that regard. Yeah.
Phonebridge.com, if anybody wants to buy it, $99.95. I can do a review when I get them off from people.
Cool. Well, I appreciate you giving us a call, and I hope that we'll see you on one of the email lists soon.
All right.
Cool. Okay. Have a good one.
All right.
Okay, bye now. There we go. More stimulating talk on ACB Radio Mainstream. And if you'd like to give us a call, it's area code 212-812-2800. Yes, indeed, it is good to be on the announcements list, because every so often if we have a special interview and we have to accommodate the target audience or the guest, then we can move things around, such as the flexibility of this radio station. So you can be kept up to date with what's going on if you subscribe to one of the email lists, and you'll be able to find details on those lists on the ACB radio site when the thing comes up. Area code 212-812-2800 is the number, and the PIN is area code is 0480-5512. That's 0480-5512, and we would be delighted. That's what we would be delighted to hear from you, because we still have an hour to run. We certainly appreciate those who have been able to tune in, because I realise that there is a bit of an issue with the website at the moment, and that's absolutely out of our control. So thanks for sticking with us. If you'd also like to call, that'd be really fine as well. Don't forget that there is more talk back at the usual time on Tuesday Universal. That makes it Monday evening at 9 Eastern in the United States, 6 Pacific. Starting off with Dennis Miller and Miller Time. And following that, Marlena Lieberg is along with Blind Spot. And I'm going to update the archives in the next little while too, because if you missed the program with, goodness me, his name escapes me, but the fine gentleman who was talking about sleep and the blind, well, it was a fascinating program, talking about the whole issue of melatonin, the impact that light has on one's circadian rhythms, and all of that sort of thing. So it's one worth catching in the archives, and we will make sure that it's in the archives in the next day or so for you. Let's continue with this sort of impromptu novelty theme that I've developed. Here's the Baron Knights, and it would help if I wind it. You know, I've had this mixer board for, I don't know, what is it, 8-9 months, and I still push wrong buttons, and I guess I always will.
Herbie dreamed of the Olympics every night he lay in bed. But poor Herbie had a problem, he was nothing but a head. How he longed to throw the discus, run a mile and under four. But Herbie had to be content with rolling on the floor. Herbie, poor Herbie, I think you've been misled. There are all kinds of other things that you could do instead. Why, you could be a doorstop or read the news in bed. Or try your hand at cracking nuts, but quick while you're ahead. The Olympics came round again, they found him a place. His wife broke him the news while she picked chewing gum off his face. So they packed him in his bowling bag and put him on a plane. And he wound up as a shot put in those next Olympic Games. Herbie, poor Herbie, I think you've been misled. There are all kinds of other things that you could do instead. Well, you could be a bookender, sit out on the shed, and be a human weathercock, but quick while you're ahead. Well, the Russians and the Americans, he gave them a surprise. He could make himself go further by blinking both his eyes. Each time he landed on the ground, he never made a dent. He used to flap his ears a lot to slow down his descent. Everybody loved him, shouting, Herbie, you're a great. But the day hadn't come along when Herbie met his fate. Hot dang! Yes, Herbie got thrown badly and landed on a man who was nothing but a torso working as a cushion in the stand. The man became abusive and Herbie called him names. And then they started fighting and were both banned from the games. Herbie, for Herbie, a funky famous lad. There are all kinds of other things that you could do instead.
Well, that was all rather sudden, wasn't it? Oh well, Herbie the Head. Herbie the Head, the sound of the Baron Knights on ACB Radio Mainstream and the Blind Line Show. Yes, it's winter nasties time here in New Zealand, of course. We've had some pretty good weather over the last couple of days, but the winter flu season is well and truly gripping the country. And, yeah, the kids are down with it. My wife's down with it. I had a bit of a cold I'm getting over, so, you know, it's winter time and all is well. Cures for the common cold. There we go. We could sort of try and steal Marlena's thunder. We could talk about, you know, things like garlic and... well, that reminds me. I think Marlene told us last week that she's going to be in the kitchen. Not like the old song about in the kitchen at parties either, but we're going to be talking cooking, I think, tomorrow. I have always thought that I need to do more of this, partly because I actually do find it creative when I allocate the time, and also because I think it's an issue of equity and just doing something nice and unpredictable. I like being unpredictable, and my wife doesn't expect me to cook the meals because I'm useless at actually being disciplined and doing it. So the other day, I did actually, had a very nice crumbed Wiener Schnitzel. Very nice it was too. And I will be happy to to share this information with anyone interested. Oh, dear me. We've still got another 50-odd minutes of the program to go, and you're welcome to join us if you care to. The number is area code 212-812-2800. That's in New York in the United States of America. 212-812-2800, and the PIN is 0480-5512. We've had the blind line at an earlier time, 21 to 23 Universal Time, because earlier in the show we were speaking with Ryan Kelly, who is playing Jazza in the BBC radio show The Archers, and it was really great to have a chat with him. And as a result of that interview, we've been seeking to stimulate a bit of debate about knockbacks, setbacks, times when you've been told that it would be impossible for you to do something and you've gone on and done it, and how you were able to do that, how you were able to cope, not be despondent, not actually believe the negative things, the discouraging things that were said. So if you want to share your thoughts on that, you're most welcome. Or you might like to raise a completely different topic. I mean, what else is going on out there at the moment? Seems to me to be pretty quiet. Not too many huge issues. I see, I have an email actually from Jerry Chevalier in Canada, who tells me that there's some mandating of audio description going on there. I haven't had a chance to read all of it yet, so that's good news. Nice to know that that is happening, and I presume that there's not going to be any sort of appealing or challenging going on in Canada, so it'll be interesting to see who gets there first in terms of mandated audio description content. So if we have any friends from Canada listening who would like to share that with us, that information, expand on it further, I know that there'll be a lot of people who will find that of interest. But we are also in the absence of a lot of calls, and I hasten to add that a few people are listening through the tuner, but the ACB radio website is down at the moment, which means that our listenership is way, way down. We're playing some novelty music. But that doesn't mean we don't want your calls, and if you wish to give us a call, you'd be most welcome. Now, here is something that is a bit unique. There was a CD released a few years ago with about, I think, 20 different versions of Stairway to Heaven, the most popular or famous of which is the Rolf Harris version. But I think that this one is good, probably because I enjoy the radio sort of thing. Listen to this. having one of those fun times.
There's a lady who knows all that glitters is gold, and she's buying a stairway to heaven. And when she gets there, she knows if the stores are all closed, with a word she can get what she came for. There's a sign on the wall, but she wants to be sure, 'cause she knows that sometimes words have two meanings. In a tree by the brook, there's a songbird who sings. Sometimes all of our thoughts are misgiven. And there's a feeling I get when I look to the west, and my spirit is crying for leaving. In my thoughts, I have seen rings of smoke through the trees, and the voices of those who stand looking. And it's whispered that soon, if we all call the tune, then the piper will lead us to reason. And a new day will dawn for those who stand long, and the forests will echo with laughter. And it makes me wonder. It makes me wonder. If there's a bustle in your hedgerow, don't be alarmed now. It's just a spring clean for the May Queen. Yes, there are two paths you can go on, but in the long run, there's still time for you to change the road you're on. Your head is humming and it won't go. In case you don't know, the piper's calling you to join him. Dear lady, can you hear the wind blow? And did you know your stairway lies on the whispering wind? And as we wind on down the road, our shadows taller than our souls, there walks a lady we all know who shines bright light and wants to show how everything still turns to gold. And if you listen very hard, the tune will come to you at last, when all are one and one is all. To be a rock and not to roll.
There goes, isn't that moving? Bet you never thought you'd hear Stairway to Heaven like that. It is, as we broadcast live, 8 minutes past 22. 22.08, Universal Time, Blind Line on ACB Radio Mainstream. Living in the shadow of a bomb? Where did they used to say that? Round the horn, I think. Anyway, that's what we're doing, because we are on at a different time, and also we have some website issues today. So if you're listening to us through other methods, we certainly appreciate your company. If you wish to call us, the number is area code 212-812-2800. That's area code 212-812-2800. You can enter the conference code, courtesy of spiderphone.com, of 0480-5512. That's 0480-5512. We're having an interesting meeting in Whanganui today. It is a meeting all about the governance of the pretty much the single major blindness agency in New Zealand. That's the Royal New Zealand Foundation for the Blind, and there's been a proposal kicking around for a long time on which there was going to be a referendum, which would, if it all goes through, see blind people electing the board of the agency. It would be a 9-member board. 8 of them would be elected by blind people and parents of blind children, and the other one would come from volunteers and supporters. Currently, there's a 14-member board on the agency, and about 6 of those are in some way appointed by government. So 2 of those 14 are elected by the Association of Blind Citizens, the consumer organisation, and 1 is elected by parents, but the rest are all elected by volunteers. So it's quite a major shift that would be going on, and so there's a big roadshow going on. Meetings, all around the country to inform people. There's been documentation. Actually, if you are interested in this issue, I know that a lot of people are interested in what's going on politically in other countries in terms of blindness. You can go to the Foundation for the Blind's website in New Zealand. I think they have the governance document up there, www.rnzfb.org.nz. That's www.rnzfb.org.nz. So that's what I'll be doing this afternoon, heading off to this meeting here in Whanganui. It's amazing. You know, we've been working on this issue for so long, and hopefully it's going to reach a positive outcome soon. You can also email us, by the way, if you care to drop us an email. The address is blindline, or one word, at acbradio.org, and that'll reach us here. Blindline at acbradio.org.
It's a song of reproduction.
Oh, how rude. This is Flanders and Swan.
I had a little gramophone. I'd wind it round and round, and with a sharpish needle it made a cheerful sound. And then they amplified it, it was much louder then. And you sharpen fiber needles to make it soft again. Today for reproduction, I'm as eager as can be. Count me among the faithful fans of high fidelity. High fidelity, hi-fi's the thing for me. With an LP disc, an FM set, and a corner reflex cabinet. High frequency range, complete with auto change. All the highest notes, neither sharp nor flat.
The ear can't hear as high as that.
Still, I ought to please any passing bat.
With my high fidelity.
Who made this circuit up for you, anyway? Bought it in a shop. Ooh, what a horrible shoddy job they fobbed you off with. Surprised they let you have it in this room, anyway. The acoustics are all wrong. If you raise the ceiling 4 feet, put the fireplace from that wall to that wall, you still only get the stereophonic effect if you sit in the bottom of that cupboard. I see you've got your negative feedback coupled in with your push-pull input-output. Take that across through your redhead pickup to your tweeter. If you're modding more than 8, you're going to get wow on your top. Try to bring that down through your preamp rumble filter to your woofer. What'll you get?
Flutter on your bottom.
High fidelity, FFRR for me. I've an opera here that you shan't escape. On miles and miles of recording tape. High decibel gain is easy to obtain.
With the tone control at a single touch.
Bel canto sounds like double dutch.
Then I never did care for music much. It's a high fidelity.
Isn't that great? It's almost like a song from another era now, though, isn't it? Flanders and Swan, and a song of reproduction, all about high fidelity. You're hearing it on ACB Radio Mainstream. Yes, this is Blind Line, normally heard between 1 and 3 Universal Time. And we're having it a bit earlier this time, so if you are listening between 1 and 3 Universal Time, where you're listening to a recording. Oh, and you're welcome to give us a call. I'll give you those numbers again. You'll probably be able to recite them in your sleep. Area code 212-812-2800. That's area code 212-812-2800. And the conference code is 0480-5512. That's 0480-5512. Hope that you will tune in to catch the new program, Disability Radio Worldwide. And that's hosted by Gene Parker. It's on the air Thursdays at 1:30 UTC, Thursdays at 1:30 Universal Time. And that's right after Chuck Ayres and his excellent Connection for the Blind program. Last week, Charlie Crawford was featured pretty extensively on Disability Radio Worldwide, talking about very important issues of pedestrian access. Not sure what's on there this week, but I'm sure it'll be good. That's Disability Radio Worldwide, a new feature on ACB Radio Mainstream, 1:30 Universal Time on Thursdays. That's at 9:30 Eastern, and I'm sure that you'll enjoy that. Let us go to the telephonic and say hello to area code 615. Hello there.
Hello there, Jonathan.
How are you, Michael?
Your audio is extremely low level today.
You mean on the telephone?
Right.
Oh, just try and bring it up a bit. Is that better for you?
Little bit.
Oh, that's all right then. You're obviously hearing me, and I'm hearing you, and all is right with the world, you know.
Oh, that's the idea. Anyway.
Yeah.
Just for something interesting.
Yes.
How would you like to handle some word game puzzles? I've got a word game puzzle book here in Braille. And I don't know if you'd be interested in trying a few of these.
Okay, go on.
Okay, first one. We have a game here with four letters, and if you reverse the last two letters, you'll get the name of a completely different game. Hint, one game is played indoors, the other outdoors.
So it's a two-letter game?
No, four letters.
So it's four letters, and if you reverse the two last letters, you get another game.
Right.
Tell me.
Okay, first one is pool.
Yeah.
And what do you think the second one is?
There's no such game, is there?
Pool?
Oh, pool, yeah, I know there's a pool, yeah. What?
So what would the other game be?
Well, presumably loop.
Polo.
Elope, yeah. So what's that?
Apparently it's actually more of a British game than
You expected me to know. Are you sure you're not making this up? Is there such a game as Elop? Isn't it something that you do when you're going to get married to somebody secretly or something?
Not quite.
You're going to Elop, are you? Well, I don't know.
No, not going to Elope. I wish I could Elope.
Well, you married, are you?
No.
Oh. Well, do you have anyone in mind, or, you know?
Unfortunately, not right now.
Oh.
I'm still trying to find her.
Hey,
that's the hard part.
Wouldn't it be great if we could do, like, a matchmaking program on ACB Radio?
I would love that.
Yeah.
That'd be rather difficult, but I would love it if it were possible.
Yeah. Well, maybe somebody could ring us up and tell us about this game of Elope. Because
no,
I've...
No, not elope. Polo.
A polo?
Polo.
A polo. Of course, I know what polo is.
Yeah, P-O-O-L. Yeah. Reverse O-L and you get P-O-L-O.
Oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood what you were saying. Oh, yeah, polo, yeah. Oh, well, Prince Charles is really into that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, I've even been to a few polo games. They have, instead of, like, the game is divided into something called chuckers. Yeah, I think you have seven chuckers in a polo game.
Yeah. I'm not familiar at all with the game, so I can't say.
Yeah, I'm just going through your word puzzle. Yes, I think I understand what you were saying now. I sort of was, you know, concentrating on 100 things at once like you do in these programs and sort of missed the subtlety. Okay, so maybe we should get someone else to come on and try your word puzzles. But in the meantime, give us another one then. Is it? Hey, does this come from...
Okay.
This come from NLS, has it? You got this off NLS?
No. This actually came... The book itself came from National Braille Press.
Oh,
that's fine,
NLS people.
I don't know if
NLS
has this one out or not.
Yeah, they're good.
I got
they're
this
good people
from National Braille Press.
I get their children's book of the month, except I need to resubscribe, but it's very good. Read to my kids all the time, and they have some great books.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, next one. Most of these items, most of these categories have multiple entries in them. The next one they call Escapade, in which you are looking a word, name, or phrase in which there are three consecutive S's. An example is a man's formal wearing attire is a dress suit. Not what I would describe as formal evening attire, but that's what the example is here.
Okay, so yes, so you've got D-R-E-S-S-S. You, yeah, okay.
D-R-E-S-S-S-U-I-T.
Right, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
First item. What Cinderella left at the ball.
Oh, that's easy. That's glass slipper.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I got that one.
Okay, let's see. Number two.
I know kids' stories.
Yes. Broadway hit set in Southeast Asia.
It would be saying that it was Siam, would it?
No. Not involving Siam.
Southeast. No, I don't know that one.
I'll give you a hint. The second word is the old capital of South Vietnam.
Oh, okay. Miss Saigon.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Number three. White House spokesperson.
Now, when was this published?
No, this is the office, not a person.
Oh, I see. Press secretary.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm getting good at this.
Yep, okay. This might appear on a kid's plant. Knees and is hard to remove.
Oh. No, don't know that one.
Yeah. I'll read that again. I'm not sure how well that was.
Go on.
Came across. This might appear on a kid's, K-I-B-S apostrophe, plant's knees, K-N-E-E-S, and is hard to remove.
Well, all sorts of things could appear. I'm just trying to think of something that might appear on kids' knees and has three S's somewhere there. Nope, you have to tell me that one.
Grass stain.
Oh, grass. Hey, have we got anyone else? No one wants to come and take your challenges, you know. No one wants to. I take it that you've got the ACB radio tuner, have you? That's why you're able to listen to this.
Yep.
Yes.
I personally like going to audio sites without having to go through the website first.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, that's very good. Well, I appreciate you ringing up and playing these board games. So you haven't borrowed this book. This is your book.
Correct.
This is your... Wow, that's good. That's very good. Well...
Want another one?
Oh, all right, one more.
Okay. Do needlework.
Needlework. No, I'm not going to get it.
I don't think I would get that one myself.
What is it?
It would be cross stitch.
Oh, cool. Of course. It's annoying, those things, you know, because when somebody tells you, they're obvious. yes.
Absolutely.
My mother used to work for a garment-making factory, and so she would actually have one of these overlocker machines at home, in the garage, actually. I think the overlocker went. And I learned all about that. Well, I hope that the tension is mounting for you as we await the big draw for the AMD 900 Thunderbird computer.
Absolutely. I figured out two of the songs for this week's, well, more precisely, 1.5 songs on this week's package.
Okay. We've had quite a few entries this week, and when was it? The week before? No, the week before that. I think we... Anyway, at one point, we've got two people who got all eight of them right.
Yeah, that was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. That was amazing. So, that is a lot of interest in it, and it's going to be a great show when we finally do the big thing.
I would think so.
And I'm very disappointed. I'm very disappointed no one wants to take you on with these word puzzles, but such is the times in which we live.
Oh, most definitely.
Yes. Well, I appreciate your calling, and I hope you have a wonderful evening.
You know what Charles Dickens says at the beginning of Tale of Two Cities, don't you?
It was the best of times, it was the worst of times.
And that's what the show's showing up.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. That's right. You just have to box on, you know, when the website's down and you're on at a different time and the world's against you, you just have to keep on trucking.
Absolutely.
Yep.
If you want to try, see if you can find a trucking song from telling people to keep on trucking.
Hey, what about Teddy Bear?
That would be a good one.
Oh, man, you're not serious.
Sure.
It's almost as bad as Nobody's Child, that song.
Well, I'm not familiar with Nobody's Child.
Oh, really? It's about this blind orphan.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. I wish I had it. I'd play it to you, but I don't. Maybe.
You know there are actually three songs with the name Teddy Bear?
I'm talking about the Red Sovine one.
Right.
Yeah.
There was an Elvis Presley one. And Barbara Fairchild one as well.
Yeah, I don't know the third one. I certainly know the Elvis one. That one rocks. That's a good song.
Yep. that's a very good song.
Yeah. All right.
The Barbara Fairchild song, which came out in early 73, the chorus line goes, "I wish I was a teddy bear."
Oh, hanging on a tree.
That I have fallen in love with you.
Beautiful. Well, I'm going to cut you off now.
Okay, chat with you next time, then.
Good on you. Goodbye. He's gone. That was Mr. Michael Killian. I feel like an idiot not getting that pool and polo one. I just completely sort of wasn't with it when he was giving me all those instructions. But, you know, what's new? You're listening to Blind Line on ACB Radio Mainstream, where anything seems to be able to happen today and probably will. But I'll tell you one thing that won't happen. I will not be playing Teddy Bear. And play this instead.
Oh, that's really moving music. Let me see. Yes, and we've got another call. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, I wanted to let you know that you're not the only one. You're not the only one out there.
Oh, I really appreciate that. I've got all these chickens. Who am I talking to?
Actually, you've heard from me before, but I'm calling on a landline now, which is more reliable or better quality anyway than those cellular lines. My name is Wayne. I still am technically a journalism student in Texas.
I remember you, and a Federationist as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, good to hear from you.
Yeah. I'm switching majors, surprise.
Oh.
To my, I don't know, they've given it all sorts of technical names, but basically the gist of it is I want to be able to either design or evaluate websites for accessibility's sake.
Huh, how interesting. So you're not going to be a journalist now?
No, that didn't work out. The journalism thing didn't work out. So, when doing things on my computer became more interesting than going up to complete strangers and interviewing them, it was a pretty big hint that wasn't the right field for me.
So what attracted you to your chosen vocation now?
I do a lot of web surfing, and very often will end up on sites and look around, and if I can't make any sense out of it, I'll send emails to the webmaster saying, listen, this might make sense visually, but I can't make heads or tails out of it. And 9 times out of 10, they write back and say, I never thought of that, you know.
And there is an increasing awareness of the need to deal with that, thanks to things like 508, isn't there?
Yeah. Even though, sorry about all that, even though 508 and the telecommunications and the recent federal requirement for government technology to be accessible, I think there's still, like, googles of sites out there that are not federally run or owned that are inaccessible.
Yeah, well, there's a whole can of worms you can open on this one. What do you consider constitutes accessibility? Because there would be some who would suggest that the WC3 guidelines. No, I was right the first time. W3C guidelines are a bit overly prescriptive.
Yeah, I don't know much about those. I guess it's kind of sounds ironic since I say that I'm interested in the website accessibility, but more often than not, instead of referring people to the W3C, I give them a very well-written and non-technical article written by Curtis Chan on what works and what doesn't work on web access. And I don't know, ACB might have a similar type thing on their site, but I give people the John article because that's the one I know about and know where it's located and that kind of thing. And
Curtis is
some people actually responded to me from that and said, you know, that was easier to understand than W3C.
Exactly. Yeah, and Curtis writes well, and I think that's probably a very sensible idea. Sometimes people just need to see it in plain language, what works and what doesn't.
Well, it's like I have to. This will really go with the topic here. I'm in a summer school over here, and I'm working on a service project with some other people in my class, and the task that I've been given is to write the design a prospective site for our organization, our nonprofit group that we're trying to help out. And I got some materials from actually one book that was on the Empowerment Zone that I'd heard about, and I ordered the HTML reference card from National Braille Press, and I kind of had those sitting around, but didn't really understand it all. Then someone gave me a site last week to go to, and that you could choose different things you wanted to learn about, and they have beginners and intermediate and advanced level, and I learned how to do title and heading and paragraphs in just like 5 or 6 minutes in plain English.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like bringing up Microsoft Front Page. That's what I like doing. I mean, I've learned HTML and I can write it in Notepad and stuff, but I love working in my Front Page. Get the job done quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case Michael Killian's listening, I better put the... yeah. So are you actually... You're studying this in some sort of formal sense, or are you just seeking to make a career out of doing this, you know, without any formal studying?
Well, that's where it also gets interesting, because there's no sort of major devoted to that at the university that I'm at, but there is a like an applied technology major, which has some of your leadership and your mentoring and your presentation skills classes, and then they basically let you fill in the gaps after that. So I'm taking that and then trying to fill in the gaps with whatever web-related class I can come across and any other related classes on evaluation of technology and that kind of thing. So it's actually working out real well, and so far I've managed to avoid any high-tech math classes, which I'm happy about.
Well, I'm sad in some ways that you won't be doing journalism, because I think that we need desperately more good blind people in the media to change attitudes, but also there's a lot of need for accessible web design, so that's exciting too. Hey, and did you know that the ACB's coming to Houston next year, so it won't be too far from you?
Yeah, that's going to be just another little piece.
Yeah.
That'd be good. I actually called to on something totally different, but I don't mind talking about that. I can talk about technology forever, you know.
No.
Which actually is why, part of why I called anyway, is to thank you for doing those technology reviews you do on Main Menu, because I'm trying to talk my state agency again and to get me another note taker or a different note taker with a Braille display. And I listened to the review that you did on the Braille note a couple different times, because it was covered well there, and listened to the one you did last Tuesday on the Braille Light Millennium. And of course, in not having actually sat down in front of either one of those and looked at them, I may not be able to say this totally, but I've learned more from the reviews than I may have when I, you know, I feel like I'm going to know more when I go in to be evaluated for the technology than I would otherwise.
Oh, I'm really pleased about that. Tell me, do you have a view as to which one you prefer to go for now that you've heard both of the reviews?
Probably the Braille note, because it sounded like I use a typing speed now, and that's working out real well. And of course, I had no idea about the stopwatch, so I tinkered with that a few days ago, and I was like, "Hey, this is really neat." But I haven't, outside of the typing speed, I haven't used any other Braille interface lazy product. So for someone like me, that that constant availability of having help, I guess you call that contact-sensitive help, that'd be invaluable, because the lazy note-takers seem to have any number of chords you have to learn, and that's part of why it's attracted to the Braille note, because it seems to, yes, it has the chords, but it also has some other combination of keys, so you're not relying totally on your chords. And that seemed to be a better package, I guess, than relying totally on chords. But, you know, then again, I'm sure there are people out there that rely totally on chords every day and don't have any trouble with it. But also, they know them. They know them all, so...
Well, I was interested in your comments about the stopwatch, because that's one of the things I really enjoy about hearing other people do reviews, is that even when you listen to a review of a product that you know well, and someone shows you something and you think, I had no idea you could do that. Well, I appreciate you giving us a call, Wayne, and all the very best with your new endeavor, and do keep us posted. You know, maybe you could just come and have a look at an ACB convention next year, and I could buy you a Budweiser or something.
Yeah. That's I'm a flavor drink person, so that might turn into more of a Bailey. But yeah, you know, I'll keep that in mind and that kind of thing, and maybe end up at the ACB convention. I listened to the convention coverage, a good portion of it, and it was quite, was in school, I missed the NFB convention. I listened to the ACB over your station there, and was quite interested to see how their conventions are done and that kind of thing.
It's very different, especially in terms of the way that resolutions come to the floor, and I think there's a little more time allocated for, especially, you know, with that whole Saturday thing, for wide-ranging debate.
Yeah, and there seemed to be a lot of time on Friday that was devoted to the resolution, so I know that's a good thing that the ACB seems to be steadfast in their resolution deal, and that's good to have, that kind of thing.
I think so, yeah. Well, you take care, and we'll keep in touch.
All right.
Okay.
Have fun.
You too. Bye now.
Okay. Bye.
That's Wayne calling from Texas. You can cover up Yeller and you can... Anyway, let's have a look at the time. I've got... I had two... It's 22... how can I say this? I'm not used to being on at this time of the day. It's 22:41 Universal Time. Isn't that groovy? At least it is while we're speaking live. It's Blind Line. The board is free if you want to give us a call. It's a United States number. Area code 212-812-2800. That's area code 212-812-2800, and the conference code is 0480-5512, 0480-5512. And don't forget that you can continue to listen to lots of good stuff over on ACB Radio Interactive. And who have we got? I think that DJ Doug is probably on as we speak, and then we've got Kelly Superja coming along with the KJS show. That's a lot of fun. You want to hear that. And Living on the Edge with Will and Denise. So we're coming up in the next little while on ACB Radio Interactive. Normally you'd be able to get them on the web at interactive.acbradio.org. I guess if you haven't got the tuner until the website comes up again, there's not much that you can do about that. Let's continue with our novelty music, but you're most welcome to call in. Great to have a chat to you. This is Chuck Berry.
Well, in that case, it gives us one more to do. In that case, we got the... We got to do our alma mater. We must do our alma mater. When I was a little bitty boy, my grandmother bought me a cute little toy. Silver bells hanging on a string. She told me it was my ding-a-ling-a-ling-o.
Ding-a-ling!
Beautiful, beautiful. And then Mama took me to grammar school. but I stopped off in the vestibule. Every time that bell would ring, catch me playing with my ding-a-ling-a-ling. Oh,
ding-a-ling!
Beautiful. You know what I heard? I hear two girls over here singing in harmony. That's all right, honey. This is a free country. Live like you want to live, baby. Yeah. Ain't nobody going to knock it, darling. Mm-mm. Yeah, freedom. Yes, sir. There's one guy right over here singing mine, too. That's all right, brother. Yes, sir. You got a right, baby. Ain't nobody going to bother you. Tell you. Once I was climbing the garden wall, I slipped and had a terrible fall. I fell so hard I heard bells ring, but held on to my ding-a-ling. Your parliament out there singing? Oh, yeah! Once I was swimming across Turtle Creek, man, them snappers all around my feet. Sure was hard swimming across that thing with both hands holding my feet. Beautiful. I think it's a beautiful little song. Really, I do. And guess what? Everybody's still not singing. There's a few right down front here that's not singing. We're going to dedicate this verse to those who will not sing. Yes, sir. This here song, it ain't so sad. The cutest little song you ever had. Those of you who will not sing, you must be playing with your own ding-a-ling.
The sound of Chuck Berry on ACB Radio Mainstream, and of course the My Ding-a-ling song. It is our 22:47 Universal Time as we broadcast live, and that's about where we're going to wrap it up, I think, actually, too. So don't forget that, all being well, we'll be back again. You can never tell, you see, with the wonder. Every time we have situations like this where you have a program of enormous proportions coming on, and something happens, like the website goes down, you just have to console yourself by saying, well, we're at the cutting edge, you know. These things will happen when you're on the cutting edge, and that's what I do. But I certainly appreciate those of you who've tuned in via Live 365 or through the ACB Radio Tuner, and that those of you who are listening to this program perhaps a little later when the website is back up don't mind too much about not hearing it live. So, One Universal Time on Tuesday, we'll be back with more talk on ACB Radio Mainstream, the talk of the blind community. It'll be Dennis Miller along first with Miller Time, and then Marlena Lieberg is back in the kitchen, I think, this week, talking about recipes and cooking and all of those fine things. I really must do some more investigation about this George Foreman grill thing, because, to my knowledge, you can't get them here. But they seem... I mean, it just seems interesting to me. We associate George Foreman with boxing, and now he's into the grill. I wonder what that tells us. Probably best not to think about it. Thank you for your company. Appreciate it very much. Thanks to Ryan Kelly for a great interview. And we'll catch you next time. We're going out with some quaint old music from David Sobel. No, we're not. We're going out with a Kiwi piece, a New Zealand piece of music from Dave and the Dynamos. This is called Life Begins at 40.
Well, I was feeling rather cheeky, so I went down to this discotheque. I was rocking in the corner with a pretty little thing called Beck. She had one hand on me shoulder, the other on me arm. I could see she was succumbing to my old-fashioned charm. When a bloke who was bigger than a 10-ton digger threw me out, and I told him, life begins at 40. You wonder why you feel so naughty. You may be getting on, but you can't stop shaking your feet. Your body sure is willing, even though your back is killing. You may be 40, but you can't stop rocking to the beat. Well, I saw Mick Jagger, he was 40 odd the other day. He was on the television trying to keep those pretty girls away. So I went backstage and I took it by the arm. I said, look here, Mick, you need a bodyguard. When a bloke who was bigger than a 10-ton digger threw me out, and I told him, life begins at 40. You wonder why you feel so naughty. You may be getting on, but you can't stop shaking your feet. Your body sure is willing, even though your back is killing. You may be 40, but you can't stop rocking to the beat. Surprise her with a kiss on the lips. When a bloke who was bigger than a 10-ton digger threw me out, and she told me, life begins at 40. You wonder why you feel so naughty. You may be getting on, but you can't stop shaking your feet. Your body sure is willing, even though your back is killing. You may be 40, but you can't stop rocking to the beat. You may be 40, but you can't stop rocking to the beat.